Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove and David Hobbs Honda. And joining me at the top of the hour here, in hour number two, it is David Hobbs talking Formula One. And last week we were at Hungary, and not a surprise with Hamilton winning. Second place, though, we had Verstappen and then Bottas. So it didn't look like Red Bull was looking that great at the beginning of the weekend, did they?
Well, unfortunately, I'm torn here. I want to see Hamilton win his seventh world championship, which the way things are going at the moment, he will do. But on the other hand, obviously I want to see Honda do well. The Honda engine in the Red Bull chassis. And going into the year, after the test in Barcelona, you know, right back in February, things were looking pretty good. But when the chips are down and the races, you know, obviously in Austria 3 weeks ago and then Hungary last week, the Mercedes again seem to have come out way on top. And of course, the next two races are next week and the week after at Silverstone, which again should suit the Honda even more. Because they have much longer straights and it's a much higher speed circuit. So Verstappen, in some ways, was a bit lucky to finish second, really, because Bottas made a horrible start. Mm-hmm. He jumped the gun and then stopped and then had to go again. So he lost about six places on the first lap and regained them all except Verstappen. Verstappen, we were all thinking that Hungary would be the place for them to do well, too, because it's a handling circuit. And the Red Bulls, ace up its sleeve, is always supposed to be its handling. Although even that doesn't seem to be much better than anybody else, quite honestly. Because the surprise of the season is what they call the pink Mercedes, which is the racing point cars, which everybody complaining are a copy of last year's Mercedes. And they certainly seem to be going extremely well. And Lance Stroll was right up there, on right near the front of the grid. And so they could be very strong at Silverstone.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, of course, his father, you know, bought an interest or a large interest in the team in that. And Lance Stroll, because he comes from means, gets a lot of negative feedback. But, I mean, the kid can drive.
Well, he certainly has had his moments. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that incredible finish at in Azerbaijan, 3 years ago, when he lost second place, literally at the line.
Right.
So he has put in some good performances, and he hasn't made many terrible mistakes either. And in fact, last weekend at Hungary, pretty much outpaced Perez, his teammate, most of the time. So, yeah, I mean, Lance Stroll looks good, because now we have another conspiracy theory, of course, and that is that Sebastian Vettel, who's leaving Ferrari,
right,
is now sniffing around the racing point, because it seems to be the next best thing. And obviously, the big question is, who goes, Lance Stroll or
Sergio Perez?
Well, Sergio Perez, I think, puts a lot of money into that team as well from Mexico. So, and of course, he has been the de facto team leader. So everybody is making all sorts of conspiracy theories about those two.
You wonder if somehow Williams may play a part of this with Mercedes, with the connection there. And Williams has actually shown some speed and qualify, not so much in race results, but they picked up a bit of raw speed, it seems like, in the last couple of races.
Yes. As an example, Ferrari was slower at Hungary this year than they were last year. The Williams was about a second and a half quicker. So they are definitely improving. And, of course, Oh gosh, what's your name? George.
Yeah, George.
Him.
Yeah.
He showed good speed in the wet, in the Austrian.
George Russell,
young English guy, desperate to drive a Mercedes Benz, and everybody was kind of thinking he might replace Bottas, but I think Bottas has shown that he'd be a tough guy to replace. So, but George Russell, I just hope he doesn't, you know, hang on that vine and and then peter out like so many young drivers do. Because he and Lando Norris are a couple of extraordinarily good Brits. But George Russell makes that Williams do pretty good. And so hopefully they will continue to improve.
You know, and there's always rumors, too, how long does Mercedes stay in Formula One? So, and I mean, where what could we see in, like, 2 years? How much of that paddock could change? Are we going to, I mean, there's not many privateers. Could we see a return of some privateers? It's kind of interesting to see where if Mercedes leaves, Ferraris are always going to be around. You got teams like Racing Point. Mercedes would probably still support, you know, Williams and Racing Point somehow. But you wonder what the face of Formula One is going to look in 2 years.
Well, I think you summed it up pretty well. I think there's a very good possibility that Mercedes will leave and will supply engines. Become an engine supplier. And the other, of course, major manufacturer who's hanging in the balance has got to be Renault, because their figures have been horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, they're losing money. And, of course, the French are very protective of their unions and their labour force. And, of course, 40-odd thousand people work at Renault in France. And if they're in a situation where they're going to have fire 20 or 30,000 people, 10 or 15,000 people, there'll be a lot of questions asked in French Parliament about, hey, hang on a minute, what about this Formula One we do? You know, I can see that coming a mile off.
Where's Guy Leger when you need him, right?
Yeah, absolutely. but they may remain as an engine supplier. Talk about Guy Leger. He and I used to get on very well, even though I couldn't speak a word of French and he couldn't speak a word of English. But we had some amicable conversations there, because he did a lot of endurance driving. So I met him a number of times at Le Mans and places like that. And he was a great guy. Very stocky for a racing driver. A bit like you in a way. He was very tough, because he had been a French rugby player.
Oh, okay.
He was a professional rugby player, I think, at one stage of his life. But he was very successful in business, which allowed him to do so well in the racing. Anyway, digressing a bit there.
Yes. So it'll be interesting to see, yeah, because we're down to 10 teams, and, you know, Formula One's in a place right now, you know, and they're trying to do cost controls, and you have teams like Ferrari complaining about it, but yet you still want, I mean, you don't want a grid of 14 cars in Formula One, do you?
No, and of course, this is bringing up by a circuitous route of what you said a couple of minutes ago. Will they allow, like they used to do, customer cars? So could Mercedes build like two cars themselves, and then two cars for Racing Point, and two cars for Williams, and Ferrari do the same? Formula One purists, of course, say this destroys the whole objective of Formula One, which is to construct your own car. Everything has got to be constructed by you. And in Ferrari's case, the engine too, and in Mercedes' case. But I think those old goals are just a little bit out of touch these days economically, and I think we may see a reversion to customer cars from manufacturers.
And I mean, let's admit it. I mean, you look at even in the 70s, there were a lot of customer cars. McLaren supplied cars, and March supplied a lot of cars in the 70s to Tyrrell. I mean, Tyrrell was going back and forth between Matra and March and other cars. So, I mean, there's been a precedence for that, hasn't there?
Oh, very definitely. And, of course, a lot of people look at the 70s as the golden era of Formula One. I'm not that sure that it was in particular myself. You know, everybody had a Cosworth engine, and Mrs. is getting in the wrong car.
That's why I put a golf sticker on my David Hobbs Honda for that reason.
So yeah, I mean, it would be a reversion to what a lot of people, as I say, talk of as the golden era in Formula One. I mean, I quite like the idea of people making their own car, but of course, if they put a price cap of like 100 or a cost cap, of 170 million or 150 million or 100 million, kind of hard to produce from scratch a car and find an engine for 100 million. I mean, I know it sounds stupid to say that, but of course, when you go to Formula One races, I'm sure you've been to a number of Formula One races as you go with the press credential and you get into the inner paddock and you see the unbelievable money that these teams now spend on hospitality. I mean, the McLaren, the Ferrari, the Williams. I mean, Williams is sort of teetering on the brink. But I mean, their hospitality centre is as big as our house. And they drive these things all over Europe. They fold up and compact them down.
And we were talking about hospitality. And yeah, Williams. But, you know, for them to, you kind of have to walk the walk, I guess. If you're trying to bring in sponsors, you kind of have to show we're a professional team, don't you?
Well, absolutely. You're kind of stuck with it. And also the press. And the press, as we know, sometimes not that independent. And a lot of these press guys only go to the Formula One races to live it up for a weekend. I mean, the food they deliver at all of those hospitality suites is unbelievably high end. If you're having a private function home and you get a caterer and he says, well, it's going to be, you can have $25 a plate, $50 a plate, $100 a plate. Well, their food, I can tell you, is always on the $100 end of the plate cost. And they're packed all weekend. Mm. So their cost per weekend, they would spend more in a weekend now. A modern race team would spend more, for instance, in a weekend than someone like Team Lotus or the early McLaren did in the whole season, probably, for the whole season of racing, including travel.
Well, and if we would, let's say Racing Point would go with a Mercedes, let's say, you know, I mean, they're going to put their own aero kits on there and they're going to work on the car, massage it as they go through the year anyways.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, when you get a customer car, then it's your car and you can do what the hell you like with it. Mm-hmm. It's not like Indy where you really can't change it much. And so that brings in another argument. You know, IndyCar racing in the last decade really has been incredibly competitive. You know, you're having multiple winners per season. And it doesn't take much to be off just a tad. And yet they are all Dallaras. They all come out of the factory basically the same. And Honda have their aero package and Chevrolet have their aero package. And you can't change it much. You can't just go and whack another wing on when you feel like it. And yet you see someone like Alexander Rossi last year was just tough as hell. I mean, won the race here at Road America at a canter. And this week, last week, you know, for the IndyCar race, just really was hardly competitive. And he got on.
That was his last win, too.
So, and that's all with the same car. So it does bring an element of competition in, an element of competition from the driver point of view, and of course the engineer, the way they set the car up. So, an interesting concept that Formula One could be looking at that, thinking, well, you know, really. If you want competitive racing, you know, you can't do much better than IndyCar now. Maybe we should sort of go that route. But, of course, Formula One has always staunchly been opposed to in any way, shape or form copying anybody else.
Talking with David Hobbs and Formula One on the Final Inspection Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. And final question here. We have we're doing two in Silverstone this year. Now, in the past, you would have they would do two Grand Prix in England. One would be the British Grand Prix, one would be the European Grand Prix. That was kind of their way of getting away with that back in the day. They'd do a Bronze Hatch and Silverstone, but we're doing two in a row in England. And as far as I know, that's a first, correct?
Absolutely. Same thing in Austria when they started. And as you say, at Silverstone, which, you know, I'm a member of the British Racing Drivers Club, have been now for 60 years, and they own Silverstone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they are just really big time hurting because you've got this vast, you know, 800 or 900 acre facility where nothing has happened, you know, since March. And it's a tough nut to swallow, crack, whatever you want to do. But of course, there still will be no spectators. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure the financial arrangement, but obviously I'm assuming that Liberty Media, who own Formula One, must be paying the racetracks out of their TV revenue to put these races on with no crowds. So again, a big difference to here, where, you know, Road America, the crowds are allowed in this weekend at the vintage races, and then of course next weekend for IMSA. But in England, it's still, you can't have any spectators at sporting events. So it's going to be interesting, but judging on form so far, it should be a Mercedes weekend. It really would. I just can't see how it won't be.
Yeah, it certainly has been in the past with Hamilton just dominating that Grand Prix. Then we go to Spain, then a couple of my favorite tracks, Spa, and then Monza and Italy. And then were you surprised when they announced in Russia as the finale?
I was very surprised, but of course you go through there. Imola is going to have a race now, I believe.
Oh, did they add that? Okay.
They've just added it this week, I believe, Imola. Because I've seen on the Twitter sphere a lot of great to be back at Imola, where they had a Formula One race. But that was the same. That was the same as England. How Italy got two races. Right. They got the Italian Grand Prix at Monza.
That'll be the European Grand Prix.
Well, it'll be the European Grand Prix, or the, was it the San Marino?
San Marino, yeah.
And Bob Varsha and I, when we were doing the TV for ESPN 30 odd years ago, we went to San Marino, which is a principality set right in the middle of Italy there, and it was it's very small. I mean, about the same size as Elkhart Lake, and on a big hill. So I don't know what they'll call the race this year, but that'll be interesting to see the Formula One cars back there.
Certainly. Well, David, we certainly appreciate taking time out of your busy weekend here up at Road America for the WeatherTech Brian Redman Vintage Weekend. And for those coming out tomorrow on Sunday, you'll be able to see David handing out some awards and trophies and whatnot. So come on out. And, of course, we have the Shadow is the featured mark. And we have Hall of Fame driver George Fulmer out there also. And it's a great way to see almost, I think they have 10 Shadow racing cars, to see them not only in the paddock but also in on the track too. So come on out to Road America this weekend. A lot of fun. And thank you, David, for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me again.
And make sure, don't forget, check out davidhobbs.com for all the finest in new and used vehicles, certified used Hondas too, at davidhobbs.com. And we'll be back after this on the Final Inspection Show, brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway and the aforementioned David Hobbs Honda.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.